everybody probably thinks all success could be possible, but I was that guy that was like, yes, I can do it. I will be this guy. And, you know, it worked out, and look where we are now.
Skinners are winners. That's the family motto of Montrose junior quarterback Bobby Skinner. And he's taken that to heart. He's collected several passing records in the last 3 years as the starting quarterback for the Rams. And he's got this town of Montrose thinking about a trip to Detroit this Thanksgiving weekend. Also.
And I got the boys on the bus and I said, whatever you're about to go through tonight is nothing. And in the really the huge scheme of all of it, we're just playing a game, right? This is life that we're talking about, what they've had to battle. And some of them obviously have lost their fight to it.
The 10th annual Clash for the Cure is taking place this Friday night in Freeland. The undefeated Falcons are hosting the undefeated Frankenmuth Eagles. But this game means so much more than the Friday night lights. And that's a Duff Said. This is episode 11 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button here on Podbean. Now, if you haven't checked out previous episodes of A Duff Said, all you got to do is go to the website, dufftyler.podbean.com. You can check out some of our previous episodes. In fact, you might want to check in on them because we've got something special that's been going on here. I can't explain it. I'm not taking credit for it, but it is worth mentioning. I want to start off this edition of the show by checking in on the A Duff Said Karma. I'm not taking credit for this, but guests who have appeared on this podcast have gone on to win their next game, or they built a winning streak after appearing on A Duff Said. Now, this whole thing started a few weeks back when I had Bentley head football coach Bill Schaefer on the show. Now, in 2018, Bill was tasked with turning things around for the Bentley football program. In year one, it was about what you would expect. The Bulldogs were 1-8. But then I had Bill on prior to the start of this season to talk about what it's like to build a relationship with this team and how they plan to turn things around. And they have moved forward in a big way. The Bulldogs are now 2-1 heading into their matchup this Friday night against Taos. And then you got Freeland's Jack Dreyer. Now, I had Jack on the show because I wanted to talk to him what it was like to go from being the fullback and linebacker on the Freeland Falcons football team to being their place kicker. You know, Jack kind of has the look of being a linebacker and fullback, and a lot of people looked at him and thought, kid, there's no way you can kick extra points and field goals. But then he goes out and does it, and suddenly everybody is now on board with Jack Dreyer being a place kicker. He could have a future doing this. But it was in week one when Jack appeared on A Duff Said, and then he goes and commits a little kicker-on-kicker crime. He blocked the extra point by Marshall in double overtime to secure a victory for the Freeland Falcons. And you look at where the Falcons are now. They're 3-0 going into their matchup this Friday night against Frankenmuth. And a little later, you're going to hear from his head coach, Kevin Townsend, and sophomore quarterback Bryson Huckabee. We also had on A Duff Said recently, New Lothrop. I talked to their head coach Clint Galvis and his quarterback Avery Moore. Now I wanted them to recap their state championship run from a year ago and talk to them about their chances of repeating this year. So far, things are going great for them. They're 3-0. The Hornets are ranked number one in Division 7, but they do have a very tough test this Friday night. They're taking on the Montrose Rams. The Rams are ranked third in Division 6, and a little later, you're going to hear from four members of the Montrose Rams. So, obviously, I had to go and mess up a good thing. Somebody in this matchup is not going to get a little rub from a Duff Said Karma this Friday night. But then there's one I could not have predicted. Now, last week, I went out to meet Lance Crew's football coach, Aronde Roy. I wanted to know what it was like for Coach Roy to go from being a major in the United States Army to being a high school football coach. And that, by the way, was a great interview, and you should totally check that one out. It's available right now on dufftyler.podbean.com. It's episode 9 of A Duff Said, titled Lance Crew's Football. But as for the Lance Crew's football team, it was a much different story. The Lancers, last Friday night, they were taking on powerhouse Warren Woods Tower. Now, a year ago, the Titans were 9-2. They made the playoffs, and they didn't miss a beat to start this season. They pounded their first two opponents. And historically, for Lance Cruz, things haven't been going so well for that program. In fact, they've only won a grand total of 3 games in the last 5 years. So you had to figure that coming out of this showdown with a W against the Titans was highly unlikely. Or was it? That audio comes courtesy of the Lance Cruz High School Athletic Department Twitter page. That audio is the sound of the Lance Cruz student section pouring out of the stands and onto the field to celebrate victory. They did it. Lance Cruz, in a monumental upset, defeated Warren Woods Tower this past Friday night, 20-19. It's the first time in years that the Lancers have won back-to-back games. And with that in mind, I couldn't let this opportunity pass me by. Joining me now on the phone is Lancers head coach Aronde Roy. Coach Roy, thank you so much for making the time. So take me back to this past Friday night, because you told me that this game wasn't necessarily about getting the W. It was about just getting Warren Woods Tower respect. But as you're watching this unfold before your eyes on the sidelines, your team putting the clamps on one of the most high-powered offenses in the Macomb Area Conference, when did you start to think that, you know what, this might be possible? We might actually pull this one out.
It was probably right in the fourth quarter, maybe. Right when we were doing that last drive, I was like, well, you guys have done so much good, you have did so much good stuff to this point. Can we finish? And I told my kids, the last 2 minutes were championship level. Like, legitimately championship. I watched a team mess up on a drive that was going to win the game, went offside, false started, still found a way to drive the ball, and then on fourth and goal at the 13-yard line, my quarterback throws it to one of my wide receivers. He makes sure he's in the end zone in a comeback, and he makes sure he caught the ball. I mean, you can't draw that up. I mean, that was just outstanding. And then to go on the defensive side, and even though they started to make a couple drives, we still stopped them and then got a pick. I mean, that was just championship level. The kids were like steel. For those 2 minutes, because we had a lot of issues throughout the game, right? Like, Warren Woods Tower scored on 2 special teams. Right? The opening kickoff, they scored on a punt return. Three series later. I mean, so things weren't looking that good initially.
When Tower gets off to a great start like that, it would have been easy for your guys just to fold. And in years past, they might have. But your guys just kept battling, and they hung in there. What was going through your mind to watch your kids respond with that kind of toughness?
Pride. Like, I was just so proud of them. I even told them, I said, I'm so proud of you guys right now. I don't even know how to say anything. Like, I didn't even get an ending speech. The kids just looked at me and said, Coach, you ain't got to say anything. I said, I know. I don't. And then we broke and went home. Like, no ending speech. You know, most coaches want to talk a lot. Just like, there's nothing to be said. You guys left it all out there. Just played your hearts out.
Nothing had to be said, but there was a huge celebration that took place with that win this past Friday. I just played the audio of the kids coming out of the stands and onto the field. It was a mob scene on the field after you guys picked up that win. What was it like to be a part of that moment and to see all the emotions, seeing everybody so happy after what you guys accomplished?
So I was conflicted with that. And I'll give you the reason why. Because it was twofold for me, right? It was great because the student body was backing behind their team. They were like, wow, we just did it. Congratulations, guys. But then the other part is we're celebrating week 3 like we just won a championship, because we haven't won enough to know that winning is going to become the norm, you know? So that was like, okay, so I got to reload this a little bit, refocus us a little bit, because right now we're getting way too high, and we're hitting week 4. We're going to run out of steam before we get to week 6, you know? So how do we refocus ourselves so we can, because you know how it is. Football is a long game, you know? Either you win early and you can sustain it, or you lose early and then try to find a way to get the stride later. Right now we're winning early. Can we sustain it?
And I have seen a lot of teams fall in that trap. I have seen a number of teams over the years, they'll get that great signature win early on in the season, but then when you get towards the end of the year or even in the playoffs, when you need teams to show up, when it's time to play like champions, and then they fold, and then the season ends in a loss, the season's over, and then all you have to look back on is, well, we had that great win in week 3 or 4 or whatever, and that becomes the entire season for that team. What do you guys have to do now moving forward to make sure that that week 3 win over Warren Woods Tower is not the epitome of Lance Crew's season?
Stay within our team values. Understand that we're team-oriented first. Understand that you have to respect your opponent. You have to study them just like you studied the other ones. You got to make sure you know all their tendencies, everything they want to try to do, and how you're going to combat that. You got to make sure your work ethic is just unapproachable, like you're just working your butt off. You got to sacrifice your time to make sure that you're doing everything the right way, taking time for yourself to recharge, making sure you're studying film, you know, getting your homework done so you're not ineligible to play. And then the last part is just staying tough, understanding that now you have a bullseye on your chest. What are you prepared to do when a team comes to play you that's overly prepared now? Because they're like, there's not a chance I'm letting this happen.
Yeah, the target's on your guys' back now. But as I said in the beginning, it's been a long time since Lance Crews has won back-to-back football games. And I think looking at the schedule moving forward, people are going to realize that you guys aren't going to be a pushover, that they're going to have to give their best effort when they're lining up against Lance Crews High School. What's it like for you to know that you're earning that respect?
It's great. It's good. It's absolutely good, because that's what this program needs. This program needs to understand that, you know, you guys are in a good place. You're better than you think you are, but you're not that good yet. You know, we're not that good yet. We have still a lot to work on, still a lot to improve. You know, can we sustain 3 wins in a row? Can we do that? How long is these wins going to last, you know? And then are we going to continue to get better? So, like, if we lose, do we lose and fold for the rest of the season, or do we lose and go like, hey, we didn't prepare ourselves right, let's fix it? You know, how are we gonna respond? That's where we're at right now.
And now you get to face another playoff team from a year ago this Friday night. You guys play at Lakeshore. How do you match up with them?
I think we match up really well. I think we're actually almost even. I think we have the similar parts. We have quality offensive and defensive linemen on both sides of the ball. And that's where the game's gonna be won, is right there. And outside of that, we have a lot of skilled players that can do a lot of things, but if our quarterback doesn't have time, we're going to be hurting. And then also defensively, can we hold their running back? They got a really good young junior running back that's doing some really special things. They got a young quarterback that's doing some really special things as well. And they just got an offensive line that's just devastating. Like, when you watch them on film, they're pushing guys 3 and 4 yards down the field. I mean, that's hard to contend with, and we're going to have to fight that.
He is Aronde Roy, the head coach of the Lance Crews High School football team. The Lancers, they go for 3 in a row this Friday night.
We'll give it a try. And thank you for having us again.
You got it, Coach. Thank you so much for stopping by. And thank you again for your service to our country. That is 2 great conversations in back-to-back weeks with Aronde Roy. So we'll have to keep our eye out for him. Up next, we talk to 4 members of the Montrose Rams. And that's A Duff Said. Want to get my takes on sports here in the state of Michigan? Well, that's easy. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page, Sports Journalist Duff Tyler. You can also find me on Twitter. I have the handle at DuffTyler. And you can also listen to previous episodes of A Duff Said. Just go to my website, DuffTyler.podbean.com. I am joined now by 4 members of the Montrose Rams. Montrose is unbeaten at 3-0, and they currently are ranked 3rd in Division 6. Now, this Friday night, they've got a huge showdown with Division 7's top-ranked team, the New Lothrop Hornets. Now, New Lothrop is unbeaten at 3-0, and they are the reigning Division 7 state champions. So it's going to be a huge showdown between 2 unbeatens this Friday night. And here to talk to me about that is junior quarterback Bobby Skinner. Bobby is a 3-year starter at that position. Also joining us from the Rams is senior lineman Griffin Barnett. We also have senior defensive end and running back Adam Stiverson. And rounding out the group is senior linebacker and running back Jack Calique. So fellas, tell me how things are going for Montrose this year.
It's going pretty great right now. We got a pretty good team chemistry going right now, so I feel like we're doing pretty good this year.
It's been a great season so far. Everybody's working hard at practice. We've been having good days.
It's definitely different compared to last year. We got off to a slow start, but this year I think we're rolling pretty good compared to the start last year.
This season for us, going good start. Big chip on our shoulder, people on our back, so starting to come more as a team and get it done.
Now that voice you just heard belongs to Bobby Skinner. I've interviewed a lot of kids over the years in this position, but I've got to tell you, you are one of the funniest that I've ever met. And I'll give you a good example of that. A few years back, I interviewed Bobby for a video on my Facebook page, sports journalist Duff Tyler. Now, when I interview kids about what it's like to play the quarterback position in high school, a lot of them typically have a very humble mentality about it. They're just grateful to have the opportunity to play the position. They want to take things one week at a time. They just want to get better week by week. That is not Bobby Skinner. When I asked Bobby what it was like to play the quarterback position in high school as a freshman, you are all like, oh man, this is so great. You know, the girls, they're coming up to me. They're talking to me in the hallway. I'm getting digits. This is so much fun. That's Bobby Skinner. And that video, it went viral. It got over 11,000 views, which is a lot for my Facebook page. And I got to tell you, when you look at a school the size of Montrose, you guys are what, maybe 400 kids here?
385.
And the town of Montrose, it's not much bigger than that. So to get that kind of reaction, I think that says a lot about you and what you mean to this community. To them, you're their guy. To them, you're the man. What's it like to know that you're their guy?
Their guy, I mean, it's great, but, you know, you also have a downfall to it. You have a bad game or starting to do bad, and then you're not their guy anymore. But it's great with these big fellas right here blocking. I'm their guy, too, so, yeah.
All right, I want to know, fellas, you're all having a good time with this. You guys are laughing and enjoying this. So I want to know, what is this guy like in the hallways and when you guys aren't in practice, but just hanging out after school?
Bobby Skinner is definitely the goofiest dude you'll ever meet, for sure. I mean, he's always pretty much upbeat, and he'll always probably make you laugh like 99% of the time.
Yeah, he's a straight goon. He's funny, though. I like him.
Yeah, he's my guy. Got to protect him, but he's very goofy outside of school and everything. Yeah, very funny, though.
Bobby, you once told me that your dad was the guy who really got you ready for the position of quarterback, and you guys had a lot of practices going into that as you were growing up. What was the relationship with you and your father like, and what was the process like to get you ready to be quarterback here at Montrose?
Well, the relationship with me and my dad, I've seen him only on weekends sometimes, but now, as we're getting older through high school, I've been seeing him more. I live with him. I used to live with my mom. But it's dedication. We used to go outside with my dad, you know, days, hot, cold, whatever, always be outside with me. My brothers had me working too, like going long, throwing neat passes all the time. But really, just dedication outside.
What's it like to have this success that you've had and be able to share that with him?
It's great, really, because you always want your dad in your life, and I feel like if he was there, then I wouldn't be in the position I am in right now. So huge thank you to him for that.
When I first talked to you, I asked you, tell me one thing that people need to know about Bobby Skinner. And these guys know it very well because they were talking about it right when we walked in. You said, I'm on the rise. And you were a freshman QB at the time, but then you started grabbing school records. The team started collecting victories. And you were having a huge wave of success. But what do you remember about those first couple of games as you were just kind of feeling the position out and finding your groove?
Well, I was definitely nervous. But, like, seniors stepped up. Kyler Thompson always was there helping me, getting me through situations that I could do. Then Coach Reinhardt, you know, he was a big part of it, stepping up and telling me that I could do it, be the leader that I am.
Looking at where you are now, you've got the school record for career touchdowns. You put your name in the record books on a number of different pages. And 1 year ago, you got this team to within one game of the state finals. When you look back to that moment when they first tapped you on the shoulder and said, you're going in, you're going to be our guy at quarterback, did you ever think that all of that could be possible?
Everybody probably thinks all success could be possible, but I was that guy that was like, yes, I can do it. I will be this guy. And, you know, it worked out, and look where we are now.
One thing I have learned about Bobby Skinner is that you are fearless. And a good example of that would be last fall when you guys took on Millington in the playoffs. The week before, Millington had that huge upset at Ithaca. They took care of their business. And then you guys go up against them, and then you handle your business. You beat them 29-6. And there was an interview you did with MLive where you said, you know what, well, I'm not surprised about the success that we had. I think we should have beaten them by more. You have this confidence about you that is unlike anything I have ever seen. Where does this confidence come from, and how long did it take for you to believe in yourself?
It started when I was little, going through youth, and the confidence came from, you know, our family. Skinners are winners, baby. Then, it started young, but I don't know. We always grew up, my dad telling me I could do it, you know, everybody else telling me we could do it, but that's it. You know, just having confidence in yourself is key.
Okay, let's go around the table now. What is it like for you guys to have this kind of leader that not only believes in himself, but believes in you guys as well?
It's great having a quarterback, you know. Like last year, I played a lot more receiver, and I always knew that the ball was going to be there when I needed it to be there. If I was going to be open, the ball was going to be there. I didn't have to think about it at all. It was awesome.
It's great because it gives a lot of the other players on the team confidence in themselves. When he's confident in him and confident in everybody else, they can be confident in themselves and be better.
It's great having a QB that trusts his O-line, because then it's a lot easier to block for him because he knows where we're going to be at, so he can scramble around and make those deep passes.
Another thing I want to ask you guys is you've seen the success that he's had, and that has translated into success for this program all around. What has this wave of success that you guys have been on lately been like for each and every one of you to share in this, particularly now that you guys are seniors and this is going to be your last year?
It's been great because I've been on a team since I was a freshman, so I've experienced all the ups and downs. So I'm really enjoying playing with my boys, having all the success.
I want to talk about the new Lothrop game now. It's going to be a big test for you guys. It's going to be a big test for them. You guys are third in Division 6. They're ranked number one in Division 7, and they're the reigning state champions. But more than just a football game, this is a clash between two communities that are separated by what? You're maybe 10, 15 minutes from New Lothrop. What's it like for you guys to represent Montrose in a showdown between two communities that have created football powerhouses?
It's probably, I think, the best rivalry in the state. You know, two good teams going at it, head to head. But it's great. Best thing in the world. Having a team over there, they're good, solid program, but I mean,
it's awesome. You know, we've played these guys since we were little. You know, we battled against them all our whole lives, and just it's pretty much all built up, you know, to this week, pretty much, and it's going to be a good one. They got a good ball club. We got a good ball club. It's going to be a battle.
It's good because obviously we're both good teams. Everybody works hard, so it'll be a good game on Friday night.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great game Friday night. Both solid ball clubs. It's going to be a dogfight in the trenches.
And I think that that's the one thing that you guys could really ask for, because this game last year was a good measuring stick for you guys. When you lost that game, and it was pretty handily, you guys lost that one 51-12. And then after the game, Coach Reinhardt said you guys had a, quote, come to Jesus moment after that game. And you guys are all shaking your head and saying that that's what it was. So you guys were 2-2 in that point, and that's when Coach called you into the locker room. What do you remember about that so-called come-to-Jesus moment?
We had a lot of guys, I think, that weren't completely on board with what we were trying to do last year up to that point. And then I think after that, when we started winning games by a lot, I think that's when people started to be like, oh, yeah, like this is what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody had got their job and knew what they were supposed to do, and that's when we started rolling.
It was good because, like, in the locker room, we were sitting there, and if anybody had anything to say about the team or about the coaches or about practice or anything, they'd get off their chest. All the coaches could get everything off the chest that they had to say, and it just made us better.
Well, everybody, well, not everybody, but most people, they wanted to win for themselves. They didn't want to win for the team. So after that, I feel like everybody was wanting to win for the team and is all in for the team.
After that game, you guys won 8 in a row. You took that winning streak all the way to the state semifinals. So what changed from that moment on?
Well, everyone just came together as a team. We started working extra hard every day in practice and just really built a chemistry as a team and just started winning ball games.
We made some switches in our defense, made some switches in the offense, and I think everything just worked better like that.
Yeah, I think, I don't, nobody wants to say it, but I think it was embarrassing losing like that, and nobody wanted to lose like that again. So after that, we were all in, ready to do whatever we had to do to win every game.
I think everybody just threw the chips in, believed in coach, believed in our players, and was all in.
I wanted to ask you, Bobby, about the guy that you'll be matched up with in this game, in Avery Moore. Now, he's the guy that last year was considered to be one of the top quarterbacks in the state as a junior, and he went out and lived up to those expectations. He won a state championship, and now there are articles being written about you in that same manner as a junior quarterback, saying that you could be one of the best in the state. Was there anything that you noticed about what he was doing last year that you kind of picked up on both last year and this year that's helped lead to your success?
He was great. I like him. He's a great guy. He's a great player. But it's going to be a fun matchup. Two of the best QBs in the state, baby. Going at it.
Now, I'm talking to you guys right now going into this matchup. It's early in the week, and you've still got a lot of practices before you get to that game. But obviously, you guys are not intimidated by the fact that they've got the rings. Everybody's shaking their heads right now. I like it. You guys are not intimidated by that. I don't want to necessarily say that this game is going to be a measuring stick for the rest of the season in a manner of which it was last year, because you guys know what's expected and you guys have lived up to the expectations so far. But when this game is over on Friday night, what do you hope to learn from yourselves?
Hope to learn that we can go out against a good team and get a W. That's what I hope to learn.
I hope to learn that everybody can come together as a team, play their best, and we have a great season.
I hope to learn that everybody on this team is a dog and we're going to go out and beat a good team Friday night.
I hope that we can learn to play as a team, believe in our coaches, and just go out there and get it done.
And one last question for you guys. What is the ceiling for Montrose football this year? Because last year it ended in the state semifinals. Is it possible that you guys can take that next step and get to Ford Field in November?
Ceiling for us is probably state title. That's everybody's ceiling. But we just got to work, and I believe we can get there.
Our coach likes us to say we're going to take one game at a time, but we got our hopes set on a state championship. We got our eyes set on it, and that's what we're hoping for, gunning for.
Yeah, just keep working every week, getting better every week, and see what happens in the future.
Go 1-0 every week.
Bobby Skinner, Griffin Barnett, Adam Stiverson, and Jack Calliquet, four members of the undefeated Montrose Rams. This Friday night, the Rams host Division 7's top-ranked team, the New Lothrop Hornets. Thank you so much, fellas, for making the time. Best of luck to you on Friday. Up next, we head out to Freeland. We're going to be talking to two members of the Falcons as they continue their annual fundraising event to help people in the fight with cancer. And that's A Duff Said. If this was your first time listening to A Duff Said, thank you so much for hitting the play button. Now, how about you go to my website, dufftyler.podbean.com, and check out some of our previous episodes.
I was going into the game thinking, why should we lose? You know, other than the reason that they're beat here, why should we lose? So, to everyone else, you know, yeah, you're underdogs, but to me, and I think to most of the guys on the team, we're probably thinking, we should probably win the game.
This game of basketball, it's just a game. It is really just a game. What we have here is more important.
So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore.
They're all available to you right now at dufftyler.podbean.com. And that's A Duff Said. This Friday night, the Freeland Falcons host Frankenmuth in the 10th annual Clash for the Cure game. It's a week-long fundraising event in Freeland to help people in the fight with cancer. I caught up with Freeland coach Kevin Townsend, and he's going to tell us more about it. So this is the 10th year for the Clash for the Cure here at Freeland, and you were one of the founding members of Clash for the Cure. What got you motivated to start this?
We had one of our coaches on our staff, Paul LaFon, His wife was battling cancer back when he first started coaching with us, had beaten it, and then had come back from kind of a battle back and forth. And he had come from Lowell High School where they kind of started this, and we just kind of went with some of their ideas and ran with it.
And every year it seems to get bigger. I've seen it for the last few years. It seems like you get a bigger crowd year in and year out. What's it like to see this evolve?
Well, I don't get to see a lot of it. Obviously, you know, Friday night you get out there and there's so many people behind the scenes that have created it and made it go. I just get to see, obviously, the game and the kind of the aftermath of what happens. But, yeah, it started as a game where the boys found somebody in the community or somebody in their family. They wore a jersey that had the person's last name on it. When the game was over with, they gave the jersey to the family, and the family got to keep it. And then it evolved into a tent with raffles and things that we do. To this year, there was a cornhole tournament on Sunday, and last night they had pancakes with the players, and people could come in from the community. They had over 700 people in the cafeteria yesterday having pancakes and sausage. So it's really boomed into a community thing. It also involves our volleyball team, our cross country team, our POM, our cheer, our soccer team. So it's more than just football now. It's a community wide school thing.
Before the game starts, you guys are going to have a huge party here at Freeland. There's going to be all sorts of events that are going to be taking place before you guys even go on the field to warm up. What are some things that fans can expect when they come out to the stadium Friday afternoon?
We have a kids' fest, so there's a dunk tank and face painting and just different football game activities and things for the kids. There'll be a huge raffle. There's silent auction stuff. There's live auction things. It's just an amazing way just for us to raise money to give back to the community.
You said two of my favorite words when it comes to events before football games, dunk tank. Are you getting in?
I'm not, unfortunately. Teachers, all the teachers and stuff will be in there, so any chance that the kid has to pay back from kindergarten all the way up to high school.
Last year, you guys raised more than $50,000 for this. That's awesome. Now, is the goal to match that this year, or do you want to raise the bar even higher?
Well, last year we had a private donor that came in that said that they would match dollar for dollar for what we raised, and we raised about $30,000, and with that donor we got to $50,000. So the goal this year would be to raise the $50,000 on our own without having that private substantial amount of money.
What is it like for you personally to know that when people come to this game, you're probably going to have some people there that are probably going through that battle with cancer, and for a couple hours on a Friday night, you can completely take their mind off of it?
Yeah, we have boys on the team that have lost, a mother or a father that, again, for that 2.5 hours, we talk about playing for the name on their back. You know, normally we're always playing for the name on the front of your chest, and on Friday night they get to represent somebody else. And we, last 2 weeks ago when we went to Garber, we actually went to one of our players' uncle's houses before the game at 4 o'clock and met with them and stuff. And when we left, I gave his wife a big hug and shook his hand and said, you know, we're all praying for you. And he looked at me and said, I'm going to need it. And that really choked me up. And I got the boys on the bus and I said, whatever you're about to go through tonight is nothing. And in the huge scheme of all of it, we're just playing a game. Right, this is life that we're talking about, of what they've had to battle, and some of them obviously have lost their fight to it, and some of them have beat it and it's come back and they've beat it again. And so it affects, you know, the families, not just the individual, but the families. And then we're just playing a game. So yeah, so for 2.5 hours we can take our kids' minds off it, the community's mind off it, and just have a big celebration for those that we've lost and for those that have won the battle. Then hopefully we're doing our job.
You are going to have a huge crowd out here on Friday night. You could have not asked for a bigger opponent than Frankenmuth, a school that's nearby. They're ranked pretty high. I think they're ranked right now as 5th in Division 5. So you're going to take them on Friday night. And even though this is a big game in the standings for both you guys, like you said, it's more than just a game. It's a chance for people to come out and remember those people that are going through the battle and some of those who have lost it as well.
Yeah, one of the things that we do is we give $1,000 gift card to a family. So if we have somebody in our community or somebody in the surrounding community and they contact us and the funds are available, the players will go to a house or someplace like that and meet them and give them a gift card along with a few other mementos to make us think about our game. And so during the summertime, we had a group of boys that went to Frankenmuth, and we gave to 3 different Frankenmuth families who all three will be honored just after the coin toss on Friday night too. So not only does Frankenmuth travel well anyway, if this was just a normal game, but when they have families that are represented, and they've done a really good job of selling our Clash for Cure shirts at their school. So yeah, I mean, you know, you could have 2-0-3 teams playing and it wouldn't be as exciting. I mean, obviously that's not what we're about, but when you have 3-0, 2-3-0 teams, it's going to travel. Hopefully we get some recognition from the media and things like that, and can just spread our message farther.
We're talking with Freeland head football coach Kevin Townsend. Now, Freeland is an amazing community. It doesn't take much for this community to come together and be together as one, no matter what people are going through. It could be the good times or the bad. And what do people say to you after this event is over? You know, what has the reaction from the community been after you have one of these Clash for the Cure games?
Again, I don't want that recognition. That's not why we do it. And there are so many people that make this game go. All I do is coach the game with my staff, you know, on a Friday night. So, you know, there's a lot of thank yous. There's a lot of hugs. There's a lot of tears after the game last year. I don't know if you remember our game last year, but we were down 8 in the fourth quarter. Scored a touchdown, got the 2-point conversion, and then the team that we were playing unfortunately fumbled the punt with 7 seconds to go, and we kicked a field goal with time running out. Brought those kids together, and we just talked about somebody was looking out for us tonight. You know, there are a lot of you playing for family members and things like that, and there was a lot of people looking out for us to make that game, you know, that ball bounce funny the way that it did and for it. So, again, just trying to give back. You know, you said it's going to be packed here. Well, it's going to be packed here because people support us. And so if this is our way of supporting people, then, like I said, then we're doing what we're supposed to do.
I want to talk a little bit about the Falcons right now, specifically your team and the way that you've just gotten better and better each week. The first couple of games, you played some close ones. You had that double overtime win against Marshall, and then you pulled out that 9-point win over Garber right after that. But then last week against Standish Sterling, you really got your offense going. You won that one 33-6. How pleased have you been with this team and the way they're performing right now?
I mean, extremely. You know, our first game, I'm not sure how we win that game. We had 5 turnovers. Marshall had 1. And, you know, I would have been happy going into double overtime and losing. When you have 5 turnovers, you shouldn't even have been in that game. And then we go into the Garber game, and we throw a quick interception in that game, and Garber doesn't turn the ball over at all. We're down 14-8 in that game, and we're able to have 3 scores in a row to give us a lead. And then we go into this game, and we create 5 turnovers, you know, only have 1. So we've completely swung to the opposite direction, and, you know, 33-6, you know, shows that we did it. Our offensive line played an amazing game. They don't get enough recognition. One thing that you'll see if you're ever at one of our home games, that we only introduce 5 kids before the game, and it's our 5 offensive linemen. Our running backs, our quarterbacks, our receivers never get introduced because they're going to get their name called the entire game. So we recognize those 5 kids. And Standish had the ball for 4 plays in the fourth quarter and 11 in the second half. So when you don't have the ball, you know, it's really hard to score. And our offense isn't always flashy. But sometimes our offense is our best defense, you know, in situations. And again, Standish didn't have the ball. We had it 71 times. They had it 34. Really hard to score when you are doing that. And then we've got to stop giving up big plays. You know, we gave a big play to Standish, which led to a touchdown. We gave up 2 big plays to Garber, which led to their touchdowns. We gave a big play up to Marshall, which led to theirs. So I think we're settling down in that stuff, and we're trusting. The kids are starting to trust the coaches and what we're doing, the positions that we're putting them in. And we're clicking right now and playing well.
I know that you only want to recognize the linemen, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about your sophomore quarterback, Bryson Huckabee, because I feel like as you've gotten better each week, so has he. He's made some real improvements game by game. And one of the things that's so special about your team is that you have so much experience and leadership and surrounding him on offense. So it doesn't rely squarely on his shoulders that he's got to carry this team. He's got a lot of great talent around him that can help him out and take the weight off his shoulders. When you look at how he's performed week by week, what are some of your evaluations of Bryson?
Well, again, you know, you have a kid last year was a 14-year-old starting quarterback on the varsity and went 2-1, and he lost to a team that lost in the state semifinals, was his only loss. Now he's come back, he's 3-0 as a sophomore. I just think the big thing is that the kids around him trust him. You know, it's really hard when you have a young kid coming into your huddle and he's trying to command senior attention, where those seniors want to be the ones that run the show. But I think they'll all tell you that they trust Bryson and everything that he does. He's extremely smart, and I'm not talking just football-wise, but in the classroom, extremely smart. He doesn't make a lot of silly mistakes, and I think he's just growing. I mean, he's 6'4", 190, one of the biggest kids on our team, and he's playing quarterback.
He's also a basketball kid, and you know that because you coached him when he was in middle school on the middle school teams in basketball. But when did you first notice that he had the goods to play quarterback?
Last year, I think, was when we really, really looked at it. We had taken him to our 7-on-7 stuff during the summertime, so as a freshman, he had the arm strength with it. again, it was just, unfortunately, just kind of a fluke thing that happened for him. Elijah Velasquez was our starting quarterback. He broke his collarbone. And, another kid got an opportunity. They're two completely different quarterbacks. I think Elijah is a great corner for us and does a great job there. And it lets us put two talented kids on the field at the same time, where if Elijah was our quarterback, I think Bryson would be on JV, and he wouldn't be getting the experience that we need him to keep our program going. So I think Elijah has been a class act, and that aspect of running the ball for us, catching the ball for us, and playing defensive back. And like I said, let's have two weapons. But Bryson, on basketball, he wants to play point guard. He wants to run the show, and you see that. And like I said, he can command it. He's smart. He has great vision, not only, like I said, on the basketball court, but on the football field. And I think we'd look at this kid as a summer that we're going to have for 2 or 3 years down the road. And if he's winning games for us now as a sophomore, we're pretty excited what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Playing quarterback is probably one of the biggest, most intense positions that you can have on the football field. But when I asked Bryson what was it about the position that intrigued him so much, it was like what you just touched on. He wanted the leadership role. Most kids, they're all about the stats and the flashiness these days, but he wanted to be the leader on your team. What does that say about this kid that even though he's a sophomore, he wants to lead?
And I think he does. Like I said, I don't know what's going on in the huddle out there, but we had, in the Garber game, we had a few mistakes where we were false starting and things like that. But I think Bryson keeps our composure. When things are getting kind of rattled, we had a great 2-minute offense. We don't throw the ball. And we had a great 2-minute offense, no huddle, where a sophomore is leading us down the field, no huddle, pointing to kids, pointing directions that you would see a senior that's been doing it for years. And so, again, I wouldn't expect anything else from him. He's always wanted to be that leader. He's got an older brother and a younger brother, and he towers over both of them. And he's just kind of, commands that leadership and that all eyes on me and follow me. I promise I'll take you. If I'll lead, you follow. And that's how it's been for us.
Switching gears now, I want to talk a little bit about Frankenmuth, because that's going to be a tough one for you guys. They are very strong on both ends of the ball. What is it going to take for you guys to be able to contend with that?
I think the big thing will be turnovers. I think whoever makes the most mistakes. Last year, Jack Dreyer had a great kickoff for us to put it through the end zone. We had the wind to his back, gave them a short field, and we blocked their punt, which gave us a short field, and we were able to score. They had a great drive on us to tie the game up. And again, just a back and forth type of thing. Nobody really made mistakes. Once we got a kickoff through the end zone and gave them a short field, they made a couple mistakes, punt into the wind, give us a short field. And so it was those little things. I think you're talking, someone told me the other day that Freeland's, we're 4-4 lifetime against them, 4-3 since I've been here. And this will be the third time that we've played them where we're both undefeated. The last two times we were both 8-0. So you've got two teams that know each other really well, two competitive teams. And like I said, this is a game that you want this to be. You don't want this to be us 3-0 and them 0-3 or vice versa. You've got two teams contending for first place in the conference. And like I said, mistakes are what's going to cost somebody the game.
It is the 10th annual Clash for La Cure taking place this Friday night at Freeland. Frankenmuth visits the Falcons. Kickoff is at 7. Kevin Townsend, thank you so much for being my guest this week on A Duff Said.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Now, while I was in Freeland, I also had a chance to catch up with the Falcons' starting quarterback, sophomore Bryson Huckabee. So, Bryson, you come from a basketball family. Your mom and dad played college ball. You got a basketball court in your backyard. So how is it that you became the quarterback of the Falcons?
Well, I've always, we played backyard football, and I was always the one that they said to be the quarterback. So when I started youth football in fifth grade, I just volunteered and wanted to be the quarterback, and I've just been playing quarterback ever since.
And what is it you like about the position?
I just like that I'm in a leadership position, and I'm able to see things around the field because I like the, I like being a student of the game, and I feel like being a quarterback is a very vital position of that.
Your coach is also your neighbor, and he's coached you for a number of years. You guys go way back to your middle school basketball days. He's been your coach for a while. But when you approached him and said you were interested in playing quarterback for him, what was that conversation like?
He always, I played quarterback all through youth, so he knew that I would want to play quarterback, but he was totally interested in me trying to play quarterback. And
what's been the hardest thing that you've had to adapt to in order to learn the position here at the high school level?
So last year I started out on the freshman team and moved up through JV and then finally varsity, but everything, especially from the freshman to the varsity, it's just so much faster on the varsity. Like, you got to read things so much quicker because the kids are that much faster, and it's just a lot more harder than playing like just freshman football.
What was it like that first moment when you got to go in and play varsity?
I knew that the moment would come eventually. Like I was definitely ready for it. Like I wanted it so bad, so I got out there and just did what I could do.
You guys have really found a rhythm on offense. As for you personally, do you feel like you're starting to find a groove?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as the year progresses, I'm getting like building more of a relationship with the seniors because I'm only a sophomore and I haven't really had that relationship with them, but I feel like they're starting to get more confident in me. We're starting to get closer as a team and finally find that chemistry.
Like you just said, you have a lot of experienced players around you, and for you, what's it like to know that that takes a huge weight off your shoulders, that it doesn't always rely on you, that you've got all these great players and talented, experienced players around you, so it's not just you that's leading the offense?
Just knowing that I have, like, I don't know, probably 3/4 of our starters that are seniors, I mean, that just feels great to know that they can, like, even in a situation like I don't know what I'm doing, like, they can help me out.
Let's talk about Friday night's game, because it's a big game against Frankenmuth, but it's also the annual clash for the Cure game. So you know there's going to be a huge crowd out here this Friday night. A couple of weeks ago, I got to talk to Jack Dreyer about what it's like to play in this game. Last year, he had the game-winning field goal in that game. He talked about the atmosphere here, because when you're out there on the field, you've got so many eyes on you. The atmosphere at that game is so electric. And not only that, but in addition to it being a big game atmosphere, you're also playing for people that have so many stories involved with fighting cancer, some people that maybe even lost their battle to cancer, and people that are remembering those individuals who lost their battle. What's it like for you knowing going into this game that there's a little bit of pressure there to perform well in front of a big crowd, and how badly do you want to have a big game come Friday night?
I mean, ever since the beginning of the year, when I was before that I was starting, I was looking forward to this game through out of every single game. This is the game that I want to perform the best because there's going to be so many people here and it's just going to be a great atmosphere, like you said. And I just want to put on a show for the people like that are going to be here that have like, had to go through cancer and terrible things like that. I just want to do what I can to help them out.
Everybody that's involved with the Clash for the Cure game plays for somebody in memory of somebody who's fighting cancer or lost their battle. Who are you playing for this Friday night?
I'm playing for my great-grandpa that he died when my dad was about 15. And then I'm playing for his wife that is she's still alive. She's 92. She just got diagnosed also, so I'm playing for her also. Growing up in Indiana, like, I would always be over there. I would talk to my grandma a lot, and it's just so inspiring to see how someone can live that long. And I just want to fight in this game like she's going to fight for her life.
You know, most kids, there's always that one game that they're always wanting to dedicate to somebody, but you guys always know when that game is on the schedule.
This game is, everybody on the team knows, this game is definitely the most important game so far, if not the most important game the whole year, just because, like, we all know that we're fighting for someone, and we know that the game that we're about to play is definitely not as hard as the fight that they had to go through, but we just want to do what we can.
Bryson Huckabee, he is the quarterback of the Freeland Falcons. Bryson, thank you so much for making the time. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you on Friday.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
That'll wrap it up for episode 11 of A Duff Said. Episode 12 will be dropping next week, so be sure to look for that at dufftyler.podbean.com. Until next time, if Duff said it, it must be true. Because that's what A Duff Said.